Let us pray. Lord, I ask that all my words and the meditations of each of our hearts would be acceptable in your sight, O Christ, our rock and our redeemer. Amen. I have preached several sermons on the topic of no room at the inn. From the time I was a child, I heard that the innkeeper was a very sad, sorry, pathetic kind of a person. How could you, when you see a young pregnant lady, say, "There's no room, go to the barn"? And that's the interpretation that the church has had over the centuries. But I want to rehabilitate the image of the innkeeper today. It happened for me after I preached one such sermon, and I saw one of my friends who was listening to me that day look extremely agitated. And when she got to the back of the church to greet me, it wasn't "good sermon, pastor," it was, "You've got that all wrong." That's just what a pastor wants to hear when you leave the church. "You got it wrong." She said, "Look it up. You're viewing this innkeeper with 20th century eyes. Look at the inns of the first century." So I looked it up. And I hate it when other people are right, but she was right. The inns of the first century were not the Marriott's. They were not the beautiful historic inns we see today, even in our own little village of Ephraim. They were holes in the wall, literally. They were carved out places in stone. There were no separate rooms. And when you went to an inn, you had to share your space with a lot of folks. Now, especially at the time when Joseph and Mary went to Bethlehem, there were a lot of people in Bethlehem because they were all ordered to go home for the census. So anyone who had relatives in Bethlehem would be going home. And so Joseph and Mary were going home to Bethlehem. And we don't know if there was an actual inn or if it was a guest house, but it would have been a place where Joseph and Mary would have gone and would have shared space with a whole bunch of people. And now Mary is ready in labor to deliver this baby. And so there was no room, no privacy in order to deliver this child. So the historians say what would have happened was all the menfolk would have been thrown out of the house, the midwives would have entered, and they would have found a place that was private and warm. And that would have been in the very basement of the home, which was where they kept the vulnerable animals. And that would have been the only place that Mary would have had so that she could privately deliver this child and have some sense of quiet. Isn't that wonderful? That really rehabilitates the innkeeper. All these years, that poor innkeeper, whoever he or she was, had very bad press. If you go to the Iverson house during the summertime, you will notice that there is a basement area where at one time they kept their animals, and it's carved into the stone. That's the type of place that Jesus would have been born. And the manger was a carved out stone area, and it would have been perfect to place an infant. I remember my mom telling me that when they moved to Staten Island, my brother was 3 months old, and all their stuff had not moved yet. They didn't have the crib in place. They had nothing in place for this baby. So they took out a bureau drawer and lined it and placed him in it. You use what you have. Now we have all the equipment, but they didn't have that then. So it was a perfect place. And we know that it couldn't have been terrible because when the shepherds came to visit this place, if it had been gross, they wouldn't have returned praising God. They would have been returned with Mary, Joseph, and the baby to find a better place for the Son of God. This story tells me something wonderful about that first Christmas and about what the church should be about. There's always room for one more. The church is a place of hospitality, and there is always room for one more. I deliberately picked the innkeeper story because the people who will renew their vows were innkeepers. They came from a line of innkeepers. And at the time that when Joyce was a young girl and her parents had the hotel, there were no restaurants around, so most hotels had their own little restaurants where people could eat who had stayed at the hotel. And what impressed me about their story was that there were so many young people who would come to Ephraim just for the summer to work. And that experience for those young people was so profound that years later they have come back to tell Joyce what that meant to them. There was always room for one more, not just for the paying customers, but for young people who were coming to get their first experience in the working world. There was room for one more. Joyce and Glenn always treated them like their own children. As Joyce and Glenn gave their vows 60 years ago, they didn't know what life was going to hold for them, but there was always room for one more. When their daughters were born, room for one more. When the son-in-laws came along, they were treated just like children. When the grandchildren came along, there was always room for one more. The first time I met Joyce, well, probably 2 days after I got here, and the first thing she said to me was, "May I give you a hug? There's always room for one more." This is the challenge of the Church of Jesus Christ. There's always room for one more. We want our hearts opened to all who come through these doors. Is there room for one more in your family? Is there room for one more in this community? Is there room for someone who might not fit the descriptions or the type of people that we're used to? Is there room for one more? In this place of hospitality, in the summertime, there's so many visitors that come in, and sometimes it gets rough. After a few months, our hospitality wears thin. I have to tell you a story. When my dear friend Brenda came here, now Brenda doesn't look like anybody else in this church, and she was welcome with open arms in this church, but as I took her around to the different places, she came, I think it was October, so it was toward the end of the season, and we walked into one shop, and it wasn't any that you all own. And a woman looked at her square in the eyes and said, "Can you tell me why there's so many visitors here this week?" And she was dumbfounded. And I said, "Well, you know, this is the last hurrah and all this." And she was just exasperated. And I thought, oh my. So we walked into another shop in which we do one of our members owns, and she said to Brenda, "I'm so glad you're here." So even when our hospitality wears thin, our nerves wears thin, is there room for one more? And that's the gospel. There's always room for one more person in the kingdom of God. And I hope that this season we will find that one person to bring to God's kingdom. Let us pray. Lord, I thank you so much for the space that was given to Mary so that she could bring her child into this world, your child. I thank you for the love that surrounded him. And I ask that you would help us to make room for one more. I ask it in Jesus' name. Amen.